Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast with your host, Jeff Bittner.
So our guest this afternoon on ITAD Talk, we're fortunate to have William, or Billy as he likes to be called, Billy Johnson. He's the chief lobbyist at the Institute for Scrap Recycling Industries, Inc., or ISRI, as they are called, in Washington, D.C. Billy works closely with ISRI members to formulate and advance proactive recycling policy strategies for a variety of issues such as electronics recycling, trade promotion, rail transportation, and recycling equipment tax policies. And he's been leading efforts in Washington, D.C. to establish a bipartisan congressional recycling caucus with a goal of creating a permanent and long-term approach to educating policymakers and promoting the recycling industry and advancing recycling issues on Capitol Hill. And Billy actively activates ISRI members through a constituent-based advocacy program using membership fly-in days and congressional facility tours to communicate and advance the recycling industry's priorities. So anyway, I'd like to go ahead and get started. Once again, I would like to say welcome for being on the show.
Thank you.
So I had a few questions for you. And one is, I was wondering if you could provide an overview of ISRI and your personal role with that trade group.
Sure. Well, ISRI is a trade association based in Washington, D.C. We have a little over 1,300 members throughout the United States and internationally. We provide a number of services to our ISRI members, including advocacy, which is what I do, at the international, federal, and state levels. We also have a very robust safety program that helps our members evaluate their facilities for all types of occupational health and safety, as well as transportation safety. And we also help promote international standards to help improve recycling around the world. Those are the big things that we do.
Okay, and what are some of the legislative and regulatory issues ISRI has helped resolve in the past few years that impact ITAD companies?
Well, I mean, first would be the accelerated depreciation allowance. What that does is, you know, right now it is pegged because of some other tax policies created, and I believe in 2017, that raised the rate from 50 to 100%. But it provides a way for manufacturers and ITAD companies to depreciate assets with 100% in the first year. That enables companies to, one, to purchase equipment at a better, you know, at a better price effectively. And it also allows them to quickly deploy newer technologies and to phase out older technologies. And so in the ITAD world, as you're dealing with newer technologies every day, you can't wait 6, 7, 8 years under the normal depreciation schedules to always buy new equipment and technologies. So that's a really big deal.
So a quick question on that. So sure. How quickly can you depreciate the asset then if it's not on that normal timeline?
Well, right now you could depreciate 100% of it in your first year.
Really? Wow. That's great. Yes. Okay.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad for, one of the things that we did. It's the depreciation allowance is restricted to recycling equipment. So basically it's a pretty wide exemption or right now. What it does not include, which probably does not impact ITAD companies very much, are things like earth moving equipment and trucks and things like that. But it includes basically about everything else.
So like for example, if we went out and bought new cell phones for our employees, would it cover that, or is it more like just like the shredders and those sorts of items?
Well, you could probably get it to fit within that. Right now, with the way that the depreciation allowance is written, you could, yeah.
Okay.
It basically includes, you know, about anything that you want. When the tax law ends in about two more years, it will probably be a little more restrictive, and it'll go back to 50%.
Now,
unless we can keep it fixed.
So just a quick question. Is this something normal that our accountants would know about, or do we have to tell them the tax code or the part number for that write-off?
Well, a good one should,
okay.
But I can tell you,
okay.
for no extra charge. it's section 179 of the IRS tax code.
Okay.
It's dealing with small business depreciation allowances.
Okay, got it.
So it's Perfect. A standard place for small businesses to see these types of things. But as you look in it, there's a provision in law that was called the Recycling Investment Saves Energy Act, also known as RISE, that was enacted in, I guess it would be, was it 2008? It was enacted, so it went into effect in 2008, and has been it's a permanent tax deduction,
okay.
Tax allowance, I should say. Technically, it's not a deduction; it's an allowance.
Okay.
So you just have to ask your accountant what that means, because I'm not going to try to explain it.
Gotcha. Understood.
I'm not an accountant.
All right. And so what issues are on the radar for ISRI right now that companies need to pay attention to?
Well, obviously the infrastructure packages, and that also include tax increases. So we're following that very, very closely. We were able to get much more on the residential recycling side. We were able to get a provision that provides public education and awareness for recycling, and also another provision in there for studying and labeling lithium-ion batteries. So why that would apply to ITAD companies is that as consumers are purchasing more and more electronic goods, they are not always sure what to do with them. And unfortunately, a lot of times they just put them in the wrong place. They'll either actually put them in the recycling bins, or worse, they'll put them in the trash. And that can cause fires and all kinds of other bad things. But it also, you're losing those products into the system. So that is something that EPA will be running basically a five-year program, a public awareness and education program, to make citizens aware of all types of things as they try to do recycling from their homes. Everything from the cardboard boxes to not throwing your cell phones away, but how to properly collect, turn those phones, tablets, computers, and everything else back in, which will help ITAD companies collect more of these devices and stuff like that. It also, while it's focused on the residential side, there is no doubt that as these things do, they will have an impact on commercial operations as well, commercial, from buildings and warehouses and types of things like that. So businesses will also become aware of it at the very same time, because they have the same types of materials in there as that residences have as well.
You know, it's funny, when you were mentioning these things, I was thinking about this morning, I helped my mom change one of those LED lights, and I was on the ladder, so I'm handing it to the old one to her, and then we started talking when I got down off the ladder, and I just remembered, she's probably going to throw it in the trash, so I'm going to have to go over there and grab that, so I can go back into the proper recycling channel for that.
Yeah, so. Especially the LED ones, because of the mercury that's in them.
Yes. Right, right.
Yep. So, well, hopefully you were not standing on the top step of the ladder.
No, I wasn't.
Our safety program is actually something that I can mention real quickly. That would be one thing that they would frown upon. But they're a group that, with the international standards like RIOS, which ISRI created, which is basically a compilation of a number of ISO standards that are specific to a recycling operation. We provide those services effectively for your membership. So you can have someone come down and do an OSHA audit of your facility that's private, confidential. Those types of things help you comply. So if OSHA person does show up at your facility, You've got a booklet, you know, especially if you go all the way through and do Rios, you've got a booklet that has all these things in there so that when the OSHA representative shows up, the first thing you can do is say, here's a book of all the things that I do. And then why don't you take a look at that? And then talk to me after you're done. They're done at that point with you. there's little they can find because you've already have gone through the process.
That's great. That actually kind of led into my next question. I think you may have answered most of that, but it was how has ISRI helped set standards and build certification programs that help the industry, specifically interested in your role with creating Rios and R2? So I think you answered that unless you wanted to add
add a few more. Okay. I just touched on the safety side.
Okay.
Rios also does environmental and a number of other things in there as well. So ISRI created Rios, you know, pretty much out of thin air, using the ISO standards as well as other bits and pieces of other standards that felt applicable to it. And it continually evolves. So as other things like from data security and other things, Rios will be looking at whether to incorporate those in as well. As for R2, ISRI was there at day one with EPA and a number of other stakeholders to develop R2 itself. ISRI's president has held a board position on SERI, which is the governing body for R2. Since SERI was created, we put a lot of input into SERI as well as R2. I actually serve on the TAC along with several other ISRI members. So we have a lot to do with developing and interpreting and helping our members get through the R2 process. And we're, you know, while V3 has come out just recently and has sort of an extended window to comply, we're looking at some of the initial feedback from people who have become certified to the V3 and trying to help other members and other recyclers figure out how to best comply with it without going through some of the, you know, the trial and error that some of the others have done as the guinea pigs, we'll call it, of the right. Version 3.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody from GreenEye the other day that does some of the certifications, and they had mentioned
that. I don't know who she is.
Yeah. So while a lot of companies have gotten, or some have gotten certified for the V3, she brought out that one of the problems is that the certification companies were just now getting certified to be able to give those certifications to the ITAD companies. And so I guess there's a little bit of a backlog, and hopefully some more companies will be getting those yeah. certifications out.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happens. It's, V3 is the newest version. So people are trying to figure out what's in it, what's not in it, and how to actually apply it. And so, again, it's you know, the first few of them are a little more difficult as they were with V2 and the original, you know, version. It's just the nature of a new standard. You just got to, you know, got to have a couple of people, you know, take the bullet for you,
right.
Or, you know, you take it for them. But we've had a few members have already gotten through it. They have their certifications for some of their facilities, and they're, you know, they're part of being an ISRI member is we have discussions, you know, during our division meetings, which happen virtually now every 2 weeks. To talk about, you know, some of the issues that people have had, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, and also to offer up advice. And there's people that are consultants that are also ISRI members that help, who sit on the TAC as well, or who have sat on the TAC, that also help provide a lot of guidance for people. So as people are, you know, pulling their hair out saying the world is ending, I can't get this R2 standard, I can't figure it out and all that. You have a lot of help within your, you know, your friends and colleagues at ISRI who say, hey, actually, it's not that bad. We thought it was too, but then we figured this out. And, you know, and our auditors, and we all got together and we sort of figured it. And, you know, this is a really simple way to get around to, you know, to figure out how to actually apply this. And so that is actually, that's helped out a number of people's concerns as they've gone along. So it sort of seemed insurmountable at first. And then when it was actually explained to them another way, they went, oh, that's not that bad.
And don't forget, the best way to support ITAD content is to rate and like the show on iTunes, Google, Spotify, or anywhere you might listen.